program, our State of the Union dinners, our Victorian teas. Each teach history while having fun. Members receive absolutely free our quarterly journal, the Caro Herald, which is jam-packed with historical articles, pictures, and society news. Everyone, however, can access the Caro Historical Society's Facebook page, which is a treasure trove of Caro history and memories. It's easy to become part of our historical family. Call Sylvia at 518-821-3852 or email the Caro Historical Society at carohistsociety@yahoo.com.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Green, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better.
Today's guest is Lauren Beale. Lauren Beale is a Hudson Valley native through and through. Born and raised in Hyde Park, she spends a lot of her time exploring the valley. From trying out new restaurants to grabbing a drink at one of the many local breweries and wineries, she even has a spreadsheet of them she's slowly making her way through, to finding off the beaten track places to go and enjoy a quiet moment in nature. But her love of exploring doesn't stop there. Lauren also frequently travels throughout the country and around the world. She just finished booking her summer trip to add the 11th country to her passport and is in the process of planning a trip to her 17th state. In addition to adventure, Lauren is also very passionate about supporting the people in her community. She has spent the last 5 years working for Hudson Valley Community Services, a local non-profit that assists people struggling with chronic health conditions. She also has been very involved in spiritual ministry in the Hudson Valley and has played an active role in at least 8 local churches throughout her lifetime. She currently is a worship leader and Bible study leader at Reach Out Church in Hyde Park. When she's not playing music at church, Lauren loves relaxing at her piano and writing new songs. She also enjoys dabbling in photography and has done small photo shoots as well as photography for local businesses. In a nutshell, adventure is Lauren's middle name. People are her passion. Faith is her driving force. Music is her obsession. And can seldom be found without a cozy beverage, be it coffee, tea or wine, by her side. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Welcome, Lauren. Thanks for being on the show.
All right, so what is this 17th state you're going to visit?
I'm planning on going out to Seattle, hopefully, at some point. I've never been to Washington before.
Right.
And might even try to hit up Oregon while we're there.
So when are you going to Seattle?
I'm looking to do it at the end of August. One of my best friends lives out there, so a few of us are planning to try to go out and visit her.
Excellent. Have you ever seen Frasier?
I have not.
Are you kidding me? Frasier is my program. I'm listening. Frasier is based in Seattle. So when you go to Seattle, you'll probably see references to Frasier. So they had
a whole episode where he went to Seattle and they had like an event for him.
That's right. And he never made it.
Yeah. Well, but then he did. If you watch the credits, it shows him there.
Yeah.
He's at the city and looked like they really had a great time. He was going to open a distillery or something in the Catskills. I don't know if that ever happened.
Yeah, I don't know.
Over in Prattsville or something out that way. Maybe it was, I don't remember, Stamford or Jefferson.
And you love breweries, so you could have went.
Yeah.
So tell us about this brewery obsession.
I love checking out local Hudson Valley places, so I've made it my goal to visit all of the breweries and wineries, distilleries, everything we have in the Hudson Valley. And I'm pretty far on that list. I would say I've visited at least a third of them so far.
So how many are there, do you know, roughly?
I would say there's into the hundreds. I would say maybe around 150.
Now, when you go there, are you taking notes? So maybe you can write a wee book.
That would be good. I should do that.
Yeah, but I would start taking notes. And, you know, your experience so that you can, you know, because there's always books about different things and, you know, try this hiking, you know, hiking place, and try this coffee house. And
years ago, my parents came down and we went to the Vanderbilt Mansion in Hyde Park. And afterward, we went to some restaurant that had a catfish po' boy, and it was like right around the corner from the Vanderbilt Mansion. And I can't remember what the restaurant was called, but it was good. It was really good. Yeah. So
what's that? What did you say? A po' boy?
A po' boy, which is like a Cajun kind of a sub sandwich. I guess you could kind of describe it.
Never heard of that.
It was right by Vanderbilt.
It, like on that road, there's kind of like, I think, a main strip that runs up and down. I can't remember what it is.
I know there's a couple of, there's a diner there and an old-fashioned roller place. You can still go rollerblading there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
You know, that's something
in the diner, the building behind the diner.
Yeah. You know, I played hockey when I was a kid. And ice skating, you always have some level of control. You can stop. But I just feel like rollerblades, what can you do? You know, you can't grind the rubber into the road to stop. Did you ever?
No, but there's a stopper at the front.
Yeah, but what is that? If you're really cruising along, that's not going to work, you know?
I can't believe we're talking about rollerblading. I really can't.
Hey, it was a pastime of kids back in the 90s. Lauren, did you have rollerblades?
I did have rollerblades. I remember going up and down my driveway, and we went to Roller Magic. Hold on,
what's the difference between rollerblades and roller skates?
Roller skates have the four wheels, two in the front, two in the back.
You seem to be an aficionado here.
Well, I never got to try roller skating.
Ah, see, when I was talking to you about that there, I was thinking the four-wheel thing.
Oh,
yeah, no, roller skates.
Yeah.
And those, I think, yeah, so you're, what was that movie with John Travolta where they were skating? Wasn't that a thing?
Staying Alive?
I don't know.
Saturday Night Fever?
Saturday Night Fever, I think, yeah.
I don't think they were skating, were they?
You know, they're not, you're in a circle, that's a little bit more controlled. But I'm talking like people that used to go on rollerblades for exercise, and they'd be flying down the road. And
well, you see people doing that on the
walkway.
The walkway.
Mm-hmm. On rollerblades?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
See, that to me just seems so dangerous.
Yeah. See, I've never done it. I must have congenitally weak ankles or something.
Or arms.
Yeah. Yeah, look like
there was an incident years ago, if I remember, on the soccer field.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. But actually, I'm actually still lifting weights, which it's not giving me any problems.
Well, it's slightly.
I'm pointing at my arm now.
It's a little misshapen.
Yeah.
I don't know what that sixth finger is all about. But.
dear. Well, and I actually thought that when I went through. You'll like this, Mike.
Hmm.
Wait, you'll like this. I actually thought when I went through immigration or the passport, what do you call it? The security?
Customs?
The security when you go through the airport.
Yeah.
That it would beep. But it doesn't. And when you come back, it doesn't beep. Now, talking of airports, Lauren, you enjoy visiting numbers of countries.
I do.
So, did you like that, Mike?
It was an excellent segue.
It was.
Very, very impressive.
Talking of segues, I'd like to try one of them. But anyway, so, go. Tell us about your countries.
Well, so far, I've been to Canada, Mexico, Ireland, England, France, Spain, Italy, Iceland twice, Denmark, and Portugal.
But you couldn't find time for Scotland, Andy.
I know, I see. I know.
Danced right around.
I know.
Right around Scotland.
And one of your favorite programs is a Scottish program as well.
That's true, yeah. So the 11th one, I'm excited. I'm actually going back to Ireland with one of my friends who has never been there, but we're planning on doing a day trip up to Northern Ireland, which I've never been to.
Now, you actually spent a semester in Ireland, didn't you?
I did.
So whereabouts did you spend that?
I studied in Galway, which is on the west coast, which I'm very excited to go back to. It's a very pretty European city. It doesn't have like the big feel of Dublin. It's very artsy and kind of quaint.
Yeah, I've been there once and I liked it. It was really, really nice.
I've never been to Europe. I need to make the trip.
Yeah, you need to do that, Mike. You need to get over there and expand your horizons.
I do.
See some of this European architecture, so crucial to European history.
Yeah.
So you can expand your kids' knowledge in school.
That's true. That's a good point.
I would highly recommend against going to Iceland this time of year.
No.
I've made that mistake twice.
Yeah, tell us what happened.
Well, last year when I went, we were supposed to just have like a I think it was originally supposed to be about an 8-hour layover.
Yeah.
On our way to Denmark.
Not an 8-day layover, as it turned out.
Yeah, it turned out to be more of a, like, 48-hour layover.
Oh.
Because they had a massive blizzard, and we got stranded.
In Iceland.
In Iceland. Which, it was miraculous. We got literally the last available lodging I could find anywhere within distance of the airport. But yeah. It was an adventure.
How did you get from the airport to the lodging?
Eventually, the buses started running because they had, by the time we got to the airport, they actually shut down all of the buses between the city and the airport. Everything was shut down, essentially, on right. the island. So by the time we had gotten the lodgings, they started the buses back up and we were able to get downtown.
Right.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen in your travels the Northern Lights?
That's another funny story. My friend and I, when I went to Iceland the first time, we did a trip up into the mountains, a bus tour, that was supposed to let us see the Northern Lights.
Yeah.
So they took us out on
the
this...
The bus was meant to let you see the Northern Lights?
Well, the tour was meant to...
Oh, the tour, right.
To show you the Northern Lights.
It was a crazy bus tour.
Well, we're going to shine the lights toward the north from the bus. Lookied.
Is that how they speak? Is that how they speak in Iceland?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was just the headlights on the snow. But no, so they took us about an hour away from the city into the mountains, and it's incredibly rural there. Like, once you're outside of the city, there's nothing except for volcanoes and mountains. So they brought us up into the mountains, and we got to go outside for about a minute. The Northern Lights were there, but they were very, very faint. It was just like a tiny green spot in the sky. So we went back onto the bus, we were waiting, and it was freezing cold. This was in March, so everything was icy and snowy. And the bus died.
Oh,
the
no. Bus died what while a we were nightmare. Oh, my gosh, that's like really dangerous.
It's really dangerous. And apparently, this had happened before, and they don't bring jumper cables with them. And there were all these other buses around, but they couldn't do anything. So they just sent someone back to the city to send someone back to get help. So it took almost 2 hours for someone to get to us. And there was ice forming inside of the windows. It was a very stressful...
But you were freezing.
Terrifying. We were freezing, yeah.
Why didn't they put all of you in the other buses?
That's what I was wondering, too. And our bus driver tried to keep us entertained for a while, but...
Was he singing songs and stuff?
He was trying to tell us stories, but then he just gave up entirely. And there was this one younger man on the bus who, I think, had autism. And he was kind of saying what we all wanted to be saying. And just was like, when are we going home? When are we getting off the bus? And the driver just gave up trying to, like, entertain us. But the worst part was when we got back, I mean, we had booked tour after tour, so we had another tour in the morning. We didn't get back to our hotel till like, 2 a.m. And we were asking the driver, you know, are we going to get a refund for this? And he was like, well, no, we don't, you know, we don't give out refunds, but we'll give you another tour voucher so the next time you're in Iceland... You can come with us. So
yeah, let's do that again.
We left enough reviews to eventually get a refund for that. But
so it sounds like one of these encounters you had in Iceland was not such a beautiful exchange. One of these conversations.
It was not.
In the hills of Iceland. But your first song is Beautiful Exchange by Hillsong. Tell us about that.
So it's a worship song, and... worship's just been a really big part of my life. I've been going to church since I was a little kid and have been singing at church since I was really young. Over the years, I've led worship at different places. So this song in particular just really means a lot to me. I think it kind of captures the essence of what worship music is about. It starts out very reflectively and then kind of shifts the focus onto God and his love for us and what he's done for us, and then ends with kind of a response in return. So I think it's very beautiful. I love the chorus that just kind of talks about love and this idea of love being a sacrifice and this exchange, one life for another. Thank you.
Beautiful Exchange by Hillsong, Australia's finest.
Australia?
Yes.
Oh.
Have you ever thought about going to Australia?
I have thought about it, except it scares me because I think it takes like almost an entire day to fly there.
Yeah, that's a bit long.
And all the animals there are trying to kill you.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think New Zealand is the better option.
Yeah, I would love to see New Zealand.
There's no any bad insects or bad animals there. They're all like badasses in Australia.
Yeah.
Like fun of web spiders and...
Boy, that continent went crazy.
Yeah.
With their flora and fauna.
Now your next item that you... Well, your first item that you would like to take to the cabin in the Catskills is a piano.
It is.
Why a piano?
I love playing piano. I've been playing piano since I was, I think, around 10. For me, it's just a way to kind of relieve stress. And music is just something I'm constantly listening to music. I always have some sort of music I'm listening to, so I love trying to create music as well. It's very relaxing, and I feel like I'm able to channel emotions and channel my thoughts through it. So it's just a very big key for me.
Talking of keys.
Talking of keys.
A quiz question. Mike should know the answer to this.
All right.
Now, how many keys are in a piano? A standard piano.
I think I've heard the answer, but I don't remember. I'm going to guess.
Okay.
I think it's like 66.
66. Mike.
I was going to say 62.
Oh, come on, guys. 88.
Well, 88. I knew it was two numbers repeating.
The 88s.
Yeah, I should have known that.
Now, another question. Is it a percussion instrument or is it a string instrument?
String.
Percussion.
Right, why do you say percussion?
Because that's what I've heard. It has strings that you beat with a mallet.
That's why it's a percussion instrument.
Yeah.
Because the actual instruments that cause the sound are the hammers that hit the strings.
Uh-huh. And the reason it's called the piano is because it was originally the piano
forte,
because it could play dynamically loud and soft, whereas other, like the harpsichord and stuff, couldn't do that, I guess.
That's right.
It was all just one volume, so.
Learning new things.
Yeah.
So, now, I'm going to ask you, do you actually write songs?
I do.
And what type of songs do you write?
I usually write a lot of worship songs, but I've written all kinds of songs. Sometimes I like just writing instrumental songs and just playing around with different melodies. I've written the typical like angsty love songs over the years, and recently I have some nieces now, so I've written some kind of lullabies for them.
Cool. Have you recorded any of these songs?
I have. I've recorded some very poorly, just at home. Right. I would love to one day get to record some with a little bit better sound quality.
Equipment, yeah. Mm. Right, shall we move on, Michael?
As long as Lauren doesn't mind.
Yeah. Do you mind?
I don't mind.
I just got that there. Your next song is She Doesn't Mind.
Sean Paul.
By Sean Paul. Now, tell us about this song. Why have you picked this song, Lauren?
So I was trying to think of songs that are meaningful to me, and a lot of them are depressing. And I wanted to be able to have some variety, so this song reminds me a lot of my friends. My friends all love dancing. I think I've been at some sort of dance party or something with all of them throughout our friendships. My one friend and I went to some dance club in Spain till the sunrise, which was pretty cool. But the funny part of it is I don't actually like dancing. I'm not very coordinated, so I'm not usually the one to be out on the dance floor by choice. But this song, for some reason, I just really enjoy, and it's one that my friends know they can always easily get me to dance along with.
Oh.
And it was interesting because in preparation, I was looking at it and actually figured out how to play it on the piano and was trying to figure out what about it I like so much. And I found out it actually has the chord progression of 6-4-1-5, which when you put it in the key of C, it's A minor F C G. Which is one of the most like common chord progressions, and it's one that I usually end up incorporating when I write songs. It's just a chord progression I really like.
Ah,
so
it's familiar to you,
yeah,
in a subconscious way.
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that you broke that down and came to that conclusion.
Yeah.
Rather than just enjoying the song.
Yeah, I was excited when I.
That's what knowledge does.
See,
it takes the fun and the mystery out of everything.
Bring it back on it, give me the thing, become a waffle, lock on it, bind it, wiggle it, set the track on it. Two more shots, now we in a hot panic. Two girl and I'm ready for jump on it. True to my word, I'm ready for jump on it. Ready for run on it, ready for dump on it. Tag team in for your truck, we pump on it. Heads up high, we burning up the sky. We got the dance, all crazy
girl. Same time align me, align it up for co-sign it. Prime me, a prime it, girl. This ain't a crime, I'm a climate, girl. Set the temperature, the climate, girl. Check the rhyme with me, I rhyme it. She combine it, this up for a private world.
That was She Doesn't Mind by Sean Paul. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acre. That's 90.7 FM. Today on the show, we have Lauren Beal talking about her items and songs that she would take on her Catskill Cabin getaway. And your next item, Lauren, is a Bible. Why a Bible?
Well, it's very important to me. Like I said, I've grown up in the Christian faith. I've grown up going to church. I just find the Bible very relevant. Still, it's something I draw a lot of strength from. It's something I go to when I'm going through different situations in life. I get a lot of wisdom out of it. I feel like I get to connect with God through it. So it seems like a very useful thing to bring with me into the Catskills.
There are a lot of bears and coyotes and scary things.
Yeah, so you could maybe hit the bear over the head with a Bible.
Yeah, that works too.
Yeah.
Depends on the size of the Bible. The smallest Bible was written by scientists on the tip of a pen, I believe.
I heard about that.
Something that, yeah, just a tiny, tiny thing.
How can you do that? That's just nonsense.
Fancy scientific instruments and know-how.
I remember we talked about a guitar that was made in a grain of rice or something.
That was silly.
That was silly, yeah.
Yeah.
How can you read that?
Electron microscope.
Oh, of course.
It's for when the scientists are doing their experiments and they need to get away and unwind a little bit. They just go to the Old Testament with the old electron microscope while they're scanning some microbe.
Yeah, makes sense.
Oh, gosh, this job is so difficult. Let me open up to the Book of Mark or something.
Do you know what the shortest verse in the Bible is?
I do. I don't know the reference point, but I know what it says.
What?
Jesus wept.
Well done.
Impressive.
That's in Luke, yeah. But I don't know where in Luke.
Yeah.
What about the last word? In the Bible.
I believe it's Amen.
Wow.
Yes.
Lauren's a beast.
Yeah,
holy moly.
She is a beast.
Now, I have some Bible trivia for you folks, if you're ready for it. The first question. How does Moses see God in the wilderness? Andy?
Very well. It was light.
sort of true.
What's the question again?
How does Moses see God in the wilderness?
I don't know.
Lauren?
Would that be in a burning bush?
As a burning bush, that's correct.
Oh, the burning bush.
Yeah, that's right. How many books are in the Bible?
Seven?
Oh, come on, man. Too late. That's your guess. Lauren, do you know?
Well, I'm still bad with number guessing. I'm just going to revert to the piano number and just throw out an 88, even though I know it's not true.
You know, you're close. It is a double number. Like, it's 66.
Oh, you see, said 66 earlier. I switched the piano and the Bible.
Yeah. And I have a few more trivia items, but I think we'll move on. But first, something that I was reminded of recently in Ken Burns' The Civil War, which Andy and I are tremendous fans of. Robert E. Lee, in April of 1865, surrendered on Palm Sunday, and Abraham Lincoln was killed that Friday, Good Friday.
Oh.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I can't remember the exact date, but...
poignant.
Incredible that, you know, Jesus riding in on the donkey, Palm Sunday, and in that way, you know, Robert E. Lee riding in on his horse to surrender, that kind of the same imagery.
Yep.
And then the kind of the savior of the Union, the savior of our souls, you know, being killed.
Yep.
Just incredible. You know, that's the kind of thing, if you were to try to write that in a book and give it to a publisher, I'm inclined that they'd be like...
yeah, come on.
Really? Same thing, you know, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, the only two presidents to sign the Declaration of Independence, both died on the 50th anniversary, July 4th, 1826, of the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Wow.
Yeah, and there again, like, wow.
I know.
Just unbelievable. Thus concludes our Bible trivia. Moving on to your next...
Amen.
Amen.
Next item.
Lauren wept.
A journal and a pen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love writing from songs, which I have
plagiarizing.
Yes, I love I love plagiarizing. I have a few notebooks I use for writing songs, but I love writing poetry, stories, and just my thoughts. It helps me a lot. Again, kind of like music, it helps me to just channel out some of my thoughts and what I'm feeling. I also use it a lot to pray, to write out prayers instead of necessarily thinking of them on the spot or saying them out loud. Sometimes it helps to just write out whatever I am feeling.
Do you think sometimes if you were to write a prayer out that you would maybe see something differently?
Yeah. Well, what I love about doing it is I'm able to go back and look at the ones I've written before. So I'm able to kind of see them in a new perspective, which is neat.
Right.
Where a lot of the times I won't remember things that I've said or things that I've had people say to me. But if I'm writing it down, then I can go back at any point and reflect on that.
Right, right.
I once went to a comedy workshop. Clearly didn't get anything out of it. But they did say an exercise is to just free write. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes funny stuff comes out of that. And I suppose if you're in the right frame of mind, like if I sat down to free write comedy, hopefully it would be funny. But if I were free writing a prayer, you know, my fear is that it would just be funny. I'd be like, oh, this is not what God wants.
The burning bush. And I feel that if you were to write free write from a comedy perspective, what I would be looking at would be like, I'd be writing, say, 10 pages to get one paragraph that you can work from.
Yeah.
You know, that little nugget, you know, that little...
And you go from there.
Yeah. And then you just... And I think if you've got somebody there who is of like-mindedness in terms of your sense of humour, then you can maybe find something almost like those ad-lib, mad-lib books. You know,
I love those.
You just find something and then you just... It just branches off of that and into a total different frame of mind, and then you've got something comedy wise.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying to you as well about when you go to different countries, Lauren, you know, you could possibly write about these things, or you go to breweries, write about them, because you enjoy your alcohol very much. And you enjoy writing, so, you know, combine the two, make some money.
I should. It's a good idea.
Pay for your liver transplant and do...
good Lord, man.
They're expensive.
I'm trying to work in Lauren's next song, Shattered, by Trading Yesterday, and I can't do it in any sort of clever segue. I don't know.
I'm shattered by that.
Yeah. So that is your next song, though, and this is from the debut item album titled More Than This by American alternative rock band The Age of Information. They were known then as Trading Yesterday. And actually, the album was shelved, never released, but leaked for download over the internet in December 2006 and has been available, I guess, ever since.
Huh.
But why that song?
That's really interesting. I didn't know that it wasn't originally made available.
Yeah.
So this song has been one of my very favorite songs over the past decade or so now. It's a little bit more melancholy, but I think its lyrics are very poetic and very easy to relate to. I think most of us at some point in our lives have felt broken or have questioned ourselves and what's going on around us. And I think this song kind of speaks to all of that. But what I really love about the song is the bridge. It has this very powerful building, moving bridge that has all this imagery of fighting and running and just kind of stirs up this this emotion of wanting to fight for who you are and just accepting yourself. And I love the way it ends. It kind of ends. They were a band that wasn't a Christian band, but a lot of their lyrics have that kind of symbolism in them. And the end just talks about God taking all the broken ones to where they belong, which I think is just really beautiful that, you know, it's okay to be in those stages of brokenness, that it's still beautiful. And it's just been a song that always reminds me of who I am. It's a song I've relied on a lot when I'm going through kind of the darker seasons of life.
Yesterday I died, tomorrow's bleeding. I fall into your sunlight. The future's open wide, beyond believing, to know why hope dies. And losing what was found, a world so hollow, suspended in a compromise. The silence of the sound is soon to follow. Somehow, sundown. And finding answers is forgetting all of the questions we called home, passing the graves of the unknown. As reason clouds my eyes, with splendor fading, illusions of the sunlight, and a reflection of a light. Keep me waiting with love gone for so long. And this day's ending is the proof of time killing all the faith I know, knowing that faith is all I hold.
Silence all this time spent in vain, wasted years, wasted. yesterday and died. Tomorrow's bleeding. I fall into your sunlight.
That was Shattered by Trading Yesterday. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acre 90.7 FM. Our guest today is Lauren Beale, a traveller, a bevier, a writer, and a raconteur.
What is that?
I don't know. A storyteller.
Oh, okay.
Lauren, your next item you want to take with you is a camera. What type of camera?
Well, I have a Canon Rebel, an older one. I think it's the T3. I got it about 6 or 7 years ago now.
Right.
I love taking pictures. I have ever since I was a kid. I remember always bringing the little disposable cameras with me, or the little see-through type ones. I don't think there were any special brand. They were probably $10. But I've always loved pictures. I would always pull out all of our family albums and constantly go through them. And as I've gotten older, I've gotten into photography more and more. I've gotten to work with some local businesses, including the organization I work with. I've gotten to do some photography for them. And I just really love trying to capture different things in pictures, different lighting,
right,
different moments.
Do you take any photographs of still life or animals, nature, anything like that? Or is it just people that you prefer taking photographs of?
No, I love taking pictures of all of it. I love still life. I love going out for walks in nature, and sometimes I'll just bring my camera along. And I'll just try to capture the sunlight through trees, or if I get to see animals. I've gotten some really great pictures going to zoos or just walking on trails and seeing little rabbits laying in the road.
We had a couple of our guests have been photographers. They make their living out of photography. Larry Gambin and
Francis Driscoll.
Yeah. So, and they talked very passionately about their work, and before you head off tonight, remind me and I'll show you a couple of pictures. Fran actually was very kind and brought along a couple of pictures for myself and Mike.
Yeah, he's really generous. So in that way,
yeah. And Larry, he's given me a couple of pictures too. So I'll let you see some of that work. It was really, really nice. So
I have a bit of camera trivia.
Let's go.
Round three. Bing, bing, bing. In what year was the world's first color photograph created? We've heard this before, but...
What year?
Yeah, what year? First color photograph. Andy.
1912.
Okay.
I'm going to go with 1930.
The answer is 1861 by Scottish physicist James Clerk Maxwell.
That's right.
The tartan ribbon.
That's right.
World's first color photograph. The first digital camera only had 0.01 megapixels, which is nothing. It weighed 8 pounds and took 23 seconds to record a picture on a cassette tape.
And when was that, 70s or something?
Yes. Yeah. Back Eastman Kodak back in the 70s and the 80s. Yeah. Real tragedy.
You'll appreciate this, Lauren. We had one of our guests, Thomas Courtney Clark, and he was telling us that there was this massive picture that it was in Grand Central Station of a boat that he was on, right? And he saw this picture while he was in the station, and he was really excited because he saw and witnessed the image, and he was actually on the boat. And he told us that the picture that was hanging on the wall in Grand Central Station was developed in a swimming pool.
Yeah, it was that big.
In Rochester.
Wow. Yeah.
At Kodak, yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
And my friend Greg, who used to work at Kodak, he was telling me that the person who designed this pool built the pool 2 or 3 floors up in this building and didn't take into account the how much it would weigh once water was in it.
Oh, God.
So
they could never use it as a swimming pool.
Whoops. Just amazing.
Yeah.
I have one more bit of trivia for you guys. The New Horizons spacecraft is carrying a camera. It takes pictures. It is the furthest from the Earth any camera has taken pictures thus far. How far away is it? What do you say, Andy?
8,700 miles.
Okay. Lauren?
I feel like I've been over-guessing, so I'm going to drop down to like 5,000.
The answer is 4.1 billion.
Oh, yeah.
Miles?
4.1 billion miles away.
No way.
It is traveling 700,000 miles per day. And if I did the calculations right, that's 29,167 miles per hour, 486 miles per minute, 8 miles per second.
No way.
Way.
You can run that fast, right?
I was thinking that. I was like, wow, what would that be like to run 8 miles per second?
Yeah, you'd be back before you started.
Cool.
That's amazing. That's uncomprehensional. Uncomprehensional. Can't even say it.
Comprehensible. Comprehensive. Comprehendible.
Comprende.
And with that, your last song, Lauren. Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You by Led Zeppelin. Why that song?
Well, despite the title, the song reminds me of my family. My family all listens to classic rock. I grew up with them blaring classic rock music throughout the house. When they brought me home from the hospital, the first CD I heard was Bon Jovi. So I've just grown up with this atmosphere around me. As I've gotten older, my brother and my sister-in-law used to come over and have card game nights. So I'd walk into the house and they'd be blaring some classic rock Pandora station and just sitting around the table playing cards. So every time I hear classic rock, it reminds me of them. And Led Zeppelin has just become my favorite classic rock band. And this song, I just love this song. It's one of those good songs to drive to when it's a sunny day and have the windows all down. It's just got, I love the way it starts out very slow and kind of romantic even, and then it just breaks into this really heavy guitar riff throughout the rest of it.
Right.
And it's just fun to sing along to. I did count, actually, and it says either some variation of babe or baby 28 times throughout the song.
Yeah.
In 6 minutes, which I thought was, well, it's not the most meaningful lyrically, but yeah, I just love it. It's fun to listen to, sing along with. My mom loves it too, so sometimes we'll just put it on and rock out to it.
Baby, 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 I'm gonna leave you. I said, baby, you know I'm gonna leave you. I'm leave you in the summertime. Leave you when the summer comes rolling. Leave you when the summer comes calling me the way it used to do. I can hear it calling me back home. Oh,
I know. I know I'm never, 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 never gonna leave you, babe. And I gotta go away from this place. I gotta quit you, yeah. Oh! A woman, I know, feels good to have you back again, and I know that one day, baby, it's gonna really grow, yes it is. We're gonna go walking through the park every day.
That was Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You by Led Zeppelin. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra. That's 90.7 FM. Today on the show, we have Lauren Beal talking about her chosen items and songs that she would take on her Catskill Cabin getaway. Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC is community radio, so if you have the opportunity to go online or contact the station to donate, it would keep shows like Catskill Cabin Conversations going.
Now, getting back to that song there, I just want to point out that that song wasn't written by Led Zeppelin. It was actually written in the 50s by a folk singer called Anne Brendan.
Oh.
And Anne Brendan and Jeanette Smith were actually having an interview on the radio, and it was Jeanette Smith who played the song at a gig afterwards. And Joan Baez was there, and Joan Baez actually heard it and liked the song and started playing it. And the reason why it was taken up by and looked as though it could have been written by Led Zeppelin is because nobody had actually put their name to who'd actually written the song. And it wasn't until Jeanette Smith actually contacted Anne Brendan and said, "Did you write this song?" She said, "Yeah, I wrote it." That latterly and retrospectively, Led Zeppelin put her name on the song, and she made a fortune in back royalties.
Wow!
At the end of it, yeah. Just thought I'd throw that in.
Well, one day when we're syndicated, I hope that Lauren doesn't come back after us.
Then we'll need to be praying from that Bible of that we have.
Yep. All our whole
Andy wept.
Careers and profits will have been shattered. But she doesn't mind.
Of course she doesn't. God will forgive her.
Well, Lauren, we've come down to the end. Thank you so much for being on the show. We just have one final question for you.
Sure.
How do you take your coffee?
I take my coffee any way coffee is provided to me. I have had it pretty much every way that you can have it, including just the like packets of instant coffee.
Lauren, thanks again.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Lauren Beal, and you've been listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXE ACRA 90.7 FM. Special thanks to George, Gordon, and Billy from the band White for the theme music, and to everyone at WGXE. Thanks.